I just wanted to connect verse 6 where we were yesterday to verse 7 where we are today, because I think there's an important connection. Notice that in verse 6 he says, one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there it's all, right? It's everybody. This is something that everybody. Well, here it's individual now. He's saying in verse 7 that each individual has been given by God, or by the head, really, as we get into it, given to each one of us grace, which was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So really, he's telling us that every one of us have a gift that's been given to us by God. And then as we get into it, we're going to see what the gifts are here that he has given to the body. But I won't go any farther than that. But just to connect, verse 6, it's to all. But in verse 7, now he's saying there's diversity. There's unity, but now there's diversity. And we think diversity is a problem because everybody's different. But God says, no, I made it that way. I want everybody to be different. And I've given everybody different gifts. How boring would it be if everybody had the same gift? If the hand did everything that the foot did, we'd look kind of weird, right? We'd look strange. Or if, and you could take that analogy with any other member of the body. And so what God says is, and God is a diverse God. He's a God that believes in diversity. And we see that in nature. We see that in a human body. We see that in every aspect of God's creation. So what a beautiful thing that in the body of Christ, there's diversity, and yet that diversity works in unity, ought to work in unity with one another.
Other thoughts on this passage? Why are verses 9 and 10, 8, 9, and 10 really, but why are verses 9 and 10 in this context? Well, I'll make a suggestion. I was waiting for Joe to come up with something, but he still has his pen in his mouth. So you have some thoughts to? No? Okay. So these gifts, what is the source of them?
There you go.
The gifts came from whom and from where? Maybe just add on to that a little bit. This time I'll wait. From Christ. And from where? From above. Right. Yeah. This thought of unity, the strength to supply from unity, this is not a spring-fed lake, if you might just reverse the analogy, right? This is not coming up from the depths of the earth. This is a heavenly-fed unity. It's from Christ, and it's not, if you would understand the word just, it's not just from Christ, it's from the glorified Christ, the victorious Christ. He has gone to the lowest depths, and therefore he is now ascended far above. His ascension far surpasses, actually, the depths to which he went. The lower parts of the earth, verse 9, but far above the heavens, filling all things. It is the glorified Christ who is ascended far above, and from that exalted place, that is the source of these gifts, which, as we will see, are completely marked by diversity, and yet they strengthen unity. It's exactly the point of the second part of this passage, verses 10 to 16, that diversity promotes unity, but it only promotes unity when it comes from a glorified Christ who is seated in a heavenly, glorified, exalted position that you could not overstate how exalted he is, far above all the heavens, I can even conceptualize that, right? Far above all the heavens. It's a wonderful phrase of his glorification, of his exaltation. And that is the source. So we must keep that in mind too. Always when we're thinking about these gifts, it's good to sort of have in our mind whatever it was it would be that you would imagine. An arrow coming from the highest place down to earth. Some kind of involvement from heaven itself. Christ himself reaching into his church to exalt himself so that God is glorified by what takes place here on this little ball in the universe from a Christ who is exalted so far above.
I was also thinking that he does this in a sovereign way, that individuals here, you don't apply for a particular ability, a gift or whatever. You don't apply, it's given by his sovereignty. He chooses to whom he gives what he gives.
Important, because that really how high he is emphasized, and we have that certainly he is God over all, and his as God he is above. But he has, I think there's a nice picture, he has the big picture in mind. From that height, he's well qualified, not just because he's God, but because he is overseeing now. He is above. So he has the big picture in mind. So he is able now, if you know, a puzzle. You know, we want a puzzle. You're making unity out of what was disunity. Mm-hmm. And so now he's bringing it all together. And he is the only one who has the picture clearly in mind. And he's the only one who could see what is needed. So he's adjusting, because not only is he qualified because he's God, he's qualified because of what he, where he has gone to. Yeah. He now has the big picture in mind.
Nice.
I think a verse that sort of ties everything we've been talking about together is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
That's a beautiful verse when we think of the, as it says, the manifold grace of God, because it exercises or it underlines or emphasizes what we're saying about diversity, because the word manifold means many colored or many multitude
parts.
Colorful, yeah. Parts that of his grace. And you can never run short of that grace. It's so manifold. And that one who is manifold in his grace has now given gifts to the body that we might minister to one another. And the difficulty comes when I either don't like my gift or like my gift and I like Mark's gift and I want to be like Mark instead of like Mike, like Mark. And so I try to be like Mark and I try to do Mark's gift. And that creates all sorts of problems. So, and we'll get into that tomorrow. But today we need to see that God has given you a gift in the body. He's given Christ, more specifically, the head of the body, has given the members of the body special gifts. And he's given every one of us a gift.
Maybe we can use that. Mark, did you have any thoughts?
I just wanted to emphasize the role of grace. Mm-hmm. We are all really welcome with the idea, by grace are we saved. Mm-hmm. Right? We accept that readily. But grace as a standard and a basis for living is another reality that we need to understand. If we're going to understand how we're going to be joints of supply, if we're going to be the source through whom the Lord is going to sustain what he has started, it's really all about grace. And so when I read this in Ephesians and the verses that were read in 1 Peter, the big key word there is grace. God giving to you something that you have no right to, no entitlement to, and therefore you can't abuse it, or you ought not to abuse it, because it was granted to you by his sovereign kindness and goodness. And so I want us to keep in mind that we've been saved by grace, and living by grace is a real challenge, because we often like to live by law. We don't like to say that out loud, but the reality is we got checklists, right? You got to do this, you got to do that. If I go this, I do this. And to really get and wrap our minds around the idea that grace is God's favor as he bestows it on us so that we can carry out something that he wants to do. I don't earn it. I'm not entitled to it. I can't claim it as my own. And that's going to help keep our attitude, what we talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm.